Earth as a singular planet. In fact, it is anything but. What it is a story not of a universe,
but a multiverse.
Where universes and planets, such as Earth, were replicated and mirrored across a vibrating, infinite plane. Some barely different from the next.
Others drastically so.
This is DC On Screen. Every week, Dave and Jason talk about the multiverse of DC properties on film and television. But be warned, if it's been officially released, you can expect they'll spoil it.
Welcome into DC On Screen episode 486. This is our review for Gotham episode 22 of season 4, A Dark Knight, No Man's Land. This is the Gotham season 4 finale. Cameron Monaghan's killing it, man.
Destroying everything he touches. Every version of it.
This is like, his arc is one of the first times in a long time that I have just been really sad that we're not doing episode by episode reviews anymore. Because I have wanted to talk about this guy every damn week.
Yeah, I understand. I completely get it. Go ahead, spill. What do you want to...
Oh, I got nothing. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You mentioned it the other day. I think we sat down for dinner or something, and you were talking about how I've finally gotten my chance to see the emotionless Joker.
Yeah, because, you've always wanted a monotone Joker.
Yeah, like the monotone Joker was a thing from, it was like his first appearance in the comics. They talk about how he's very monotone, and but he's just got this ghastly grin, but his voice is very, dude, he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm a little blown away by it. Like, I'm a little blown away by how very different Jerome was from Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Kicking act, dude.
Yeah, that guy can... Oh, man. I'm so happy he's, like, going to be part of the continuing series at this point. Just super excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Have they announced him as, like, a regular for the upcoming season?
Not in particular, but they... I just can't imagine it not being the case. Like,
well,
he's
part of it. He's
still out there. I mean, in the last scene, you got Bruce Wayne saying, like, tell him I'm coming for him. We're going to see him.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see him.
I mean, I can't imagine we're not going to see him. Did you know that, like, Monaghan came out and said that, like, they won't allow for him to actually be the Joker on
Gotham? Yeah, I saw that. They won't let him use the name.
Yeah, they won't let him use the name. Won't even let him have the green hair.
You know what's stupid, though? They won't let that happen. But did you see what... did you see what... Beyond just the... Yeah, intrinsic stupidness of that thing. You saw what Barbara named her block of the city?
Oh, gosh, what was it?
Sirens?
Sirens something.
Sirens something or other. So they'll let them use the name Sirens, even though that's in development.
Is it... Are they... I think they're just going to call it Birds of Prey at this point.
Is it Birds of Prey again?
I think they're just usurping the name Birds of Prey and making it Gotham City Sirens.
Maybe that's how that went down. I mean, because they could have filmed it both ways and just been like, whatever name they decide on. So, like, maybe if they had stuck with Sirens, then Gotham was going to use Birds of Prey.
I'm like, I just think it's stupid. You're looking for brand protection. You want to protect certain elements of your brand. But you're like, you have a freaking Joaquin Phoenix Joker film in development and Jared Leto, who is arguably one of the worst Jokers. Like,
oh, you'd have to argue me on that.
Because I know, that's why I said arguably.
What I will call him is a divisive Joker.
That's why I said arguably.
But that's a begged question. It's he's a divisive Joker.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. We've been blessed with Jokers, all right? Like, yeah. I think he might be the worst Joker, but that's like not even bad. Like, Nicholson, Hamill, freaking Ledger. I mean, bad Joker.
You saw the nod to Ledger's Joker this episode. Or it felt like one, at least. Him kind of waving from the cell, that long shot. Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen Dark Knight, but sure. Surely that was a thing.
But yeah, so...
I've loved this season, though, dude. I really have.
You've loved this season?
Yeah. Like, everything from the Rage stuff to the Jerome/Jeremiah stuff, and then back in the combining it, really enjoyed it. Like,
I've
actually looked forward to Gotham every week. And I say actually because there have been a couple seasons where it, not even whole seasons, but there have been just spots of time where it was a little bit of a, all right, let's see what's going on.
So, you know, I've enjoyed this season. I thought it was, I mean, it's kooky. It's Gotham. I always expect it to be just kind of weird as hell.
Yeah.
And it never disappoints.
I've really started to enjoy that over the years.
I really love Penguin, as I always do.
Oh, yeah. he is the worst. Like, when he... All right, the man, so sad Butch is gone, because every version of Butch I've loved.
Well, he doesn't have to be dead.
I mean, I'm hoping it's a thing where, like, Hugo thought he had him rebuilt. And by the way, Hugo's just the creepiest doctor ever. I'm going to strap you to some tubs, and here's some guys that are going to die, and we're going to put some needles in, and you'll be fine.
And then he's got Lee and Ed at the end. He's like, oh, what am I going to do to you?
Yeah. Like, oh, which would have been really annoying if I didn't know the series was renewed.
Like, yeah.
I would have been so pissed about, like, oh my God, what kind of powers are Lee and Riddler going to get?
But, you know, I think as per the comics, they could, like, I bet you Tabby could just, like, drag Butch's big ass right into Slaughter Swamp and he's going to come back as Solomon Grundy, but with a different personality.
Yeah, and stronger.
Yeah.
He does tend to come back stronger sometimes.
Yeah.
Like there's still plenty of room with Butch. But here's the thing. And I saw this early on. I heard one word out of Penguin's mouth, and I thought this is going to end poorly for somebody. Tears are a-coming.
Mm-hmm.
Penguin says, and we can get back to the plan. And I thought, ooh, he used the word plan. Someone's dying. He never, if he has a plan, even if it looks like it's part of your plan too, it's not, and it's going to serve him and him alone. That is mm-hmm. what they've done for this character, and I love it.
Yeah. That...
Like, you didn't think I forgot that you murdered my mother. I was like, I did. Holy shit, show. Good work. Honestly, I'd forgotten. Good job, guys.
Holy shit, show. Good work.
Hadn't crossed my mind in I don't know how long.
Yeah, I forgot. I was like, oh, wait, yeah, okay. Everybody switches up alliances so much, I kind of tend to forget what happened before.
Yeah, but I enjoy that about the show. Like, it's been, oh, man, it's been fun to watch even that happen. Because it is, it's like the, it feels more like a comic than some of the other shows we watch, because they feel more grounded. This one feels like I get to the end of 24 pages, and I'm like, oh, my God, the world's different. Everything's changed.
Yeah. I've enjoyed the season for the most part. Lee, I have not enjoyed.
I did up until pretty much this episode.
I feel like she is a 40-year-old woman going through like a teenage rebellious stage, you know?
No, I don't think it's even that. Like, I think she's been playing both of them the whole time.
Yeah.
And that's the scene they focused on. But I like that she can just manhandle Riddler, who is insanely smart, but only a little socially behind. The thing is, like, he's so smart that the fact that he's a little behind socially doesn't really affect how much he can still plan around people, because he can contingency plan himself around, like, well, I may underestimate this emotion, so we'll have this. Whatever. That's fine. I'm good with that character. But she can just outsmart him sometimes when she actually feels like it. And then I like that she's grown away from Gordon. I do wish she would stop kissing him one more time, because that didn't end well last time. Just didn't well at all.
I swear I found this week I was digging through some stuff, and I found a notebook, and I opened it up, and there was a Gotham review where I had written, the more cleavage Lee shows, the evil more evil she's supposed to be in the Gotham universe.
I didn't remember. I remember the last episode, I remember thinking, like, well, that's just the strangest dress design I've ever seen.
Right? Oh, now they just got it going all the way down to, like, the belly. Like,
is that it?
Just like, you know, red carpet side boob all over the place. I'm just like, what are you guys doing?
It has been a fashion show for her for the last few episodes.
Yeah. It's like, the more evil she is, the more she shows cleavage, and the more her bangs are bad. Like,
I didn't notice either of those this episode. I don't know why.
They finally fixed her hair, like, a couple of episodes ago, where it wasn't, like, just the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, like... I mean, I don't know what... I mean, it went from, like, you know, straight bangs to, like, nice little, like, side thing going on. I don't know if they gave her a weave. I don't know what happened. But
I don't know how costumes work, but I like this more. That's what you're saying.
This is a little better. But, yeah, the eye roll was heavy with Ed stabbing her and her stabbing Ed. And,
oh, God, that was the dumbest thing I've seen in a very long time.
And then, they're making out as they're bleeding out. I'm like, you
let's
guys,
kill each other and kiss. No, man. I'm sorry. No. That's stupid. That is so stupid. And the thing is, I've really liked her character for a long time. So I've really liked her her rise to power this season. But then in the course of this episode, they did two things that were just, I thought, dumb. One, that thing. That's just stupid. That was just like, like, I liked when she stabbed him. I kind of thought, that's a cool way to end the Riddler. I like this. I like where you're going. And then she just like walks away from the, like, you don't stab an animal and then just like turn your back on it. Right. It doesn't work that way. That was just like the she's smarter than that. And then she goes down and then they kiss. And I was like, oh God, you may have just ruined this episode. I was really loving it. Anyway, but before that, before any of that, she's going to leave town. But she's basically like, yeah, fix the narrows, drop the mic. I'm out, baby. Sure. And while she's saying it, there's behind her two people huddled around a fire on a 50-gallon drum. What did they do with their money, Lee?
Yeah, they already spent it on booze and drugs.
We bought a better barrel. Okay. It was just a circle of cardboard before. It couldn't get the fire to hold in very long. We got metal.
It was, yeah, she fixes the narrows like Bale's Batman fixed the crime in Gotham City.
Yeah, for real. Oh, like, fixed crime. Well, what'd you do? I legalized it. Oh, okay.
I mean, street-level crime is still around. But, I'm not counting that one. Well, that's the one that killed your parents. Shut up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I
she walks
love
away
Penguin.
From Jim after kissing him the last time, and like you can just almost feel her walking over, like, hastily, desperately scratched lotto tickets.
Uh-huh.
And I'm mad about all that, because I really liked what they did with her this season. She was, like, she rolled the narrows. It was a cool arc for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of did some weird stuff this episode. I was like, what are you doing, man? And then they kind of went, we're going to give her powers next season. I'm like, okay, fine. Have the weirdo give her powers.
That doesn't make it better.
I'll be able to hang in there. Because at least it means she's not going to wake up and be the person they just made her this episode.
Yeah. Like, what was weird to me is that, like, in Gotham, the League of Shadows or League of Assassins, whatever you want to call them, basically look like they've, like, fallen out of, like, some sort of German sex club in the 90s. Like,
not even the 90s. That's how they used to dress when the Beatles were playing there.
Okay, so maybe they're not that forward-thinking.
The Nihilists dressed about the same, as far as I remember.
They just stay the same. But I was just thinking of, I was thinking of that SNL bit with Mike Myers, the Dieter.
Like, oh, that's been too long. I don't remember that one. I'm sure anyway, I saw a Comedy Central rerun of it somewhere, but I don't remember.
Just lots of foppish hats and leather. I don't know.
Okay, there's another one. And I feel bad saying this in a row, because I really have enjoyed this season. I really enjoyed this. Please bear that in mind. But Barbara is more ridiculous than ever.
Yeah.
Like, she – Rage approaches her, knocks her team – doesn't even kill him. Just knocks her team out, disarms her gun. All looks fantastic, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start talking for a minute, and he's like, I just want to talk. Blah, 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 blah. And then she's talking about – they're talking about the demon's head. And then he's like – I want you to leave with me, and blah, blah, blah. And then they keep talking, blah, and then the whole thing that they're both part of the demon's head, and she immediately goes, so I guess you're here to kill me for it. Like, what the hell? She just said, I'm here to talk. I would like you to leave town with me. And then you're like, but you're going to – it's just stupid. It was just stupid. And then later, for reasons that don't make any real sense – and I'm as girl power as you can get from my male perspective. I try. But this was stupid. This guy betrayed us, so all men must die. Like, no! She just suddenly skips to blaming men, and then, like, she does... It, like, what did she say? Like, they are responsible for every piece of destruction that this city's ever blah, 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 blah. Does she not remember anything about the Court of Owls?
Uh-huh.
Who was running that?
I remembered a lady being in charge of that.
That's all I remember about that entire storyline, but that's what I remember about it.
I mean, the show has taken great strides
not to
show
mention
that
Barbara has a pretty strong kill count herself.
There are many powerful women in this show who are doing a whole lot of damage their damn selves, so...
I mean, her and Tabitha have killed, what, a few hundred people, probably, at this point?
Fish Mooney.
Oh, God, Fish Mooney did some damage herself.
Although Ivy?
She would probably see Fish Mooney as, like, a boon. Like, she... Actually, that's a good... Like, Fish Mooney would be a good argument for it. Like, yeah, she was... She killed people, but she kept it, you know... She had control over the crime in the city. She had control over the houses. Back when that was the thing in season one of Gotham. Mm-hmm. I could even give her Fish Mooney. But it was just a weird, like, out of left field. They hadn't built it up. There was no build up to this. It was just suddenly like, it's a girls' club.
Yeah.
Out Sophia of Falcone. Nowhere. Nothing. Yeah. You could keep naming them. It was... It was not justified. And the thing is, I've really enjoyed her. I've liked what they did with her, where they turned her into the demon's head. It was a really neat turn, because I still remember like the Lush from season one with absolutely no purchase in the show, and then now she's the freaking demon's head. That was doing something. And then they're like, it's always one step forward, two steps back with Barbara, man. They give me just enough that I'm like, okay, cool. I like what you're doing. Oh, why'd you do that?
Yeah. She's just crazy enough that, like, you can't be mad at really anything she does logistically because she's batshit crazy. But no, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
It did not make a lot of sense. And she's not even as batshit crazy as they once said. Like, she's now just, like, settled into a calculated devil-may-care attitude,
mm-hmm.
which is way different from batshit crazy. Like, batshit mm-hmm. crazy, at, I don't know. She
Until
left
now.
She left, yeah, that was... Whatever. I knew those guys were going to die. She just had a look on her. She was going to find some reason to kill them. It was weird, man.
Yeah.
That was a weird part. But if I can get back to what I liked, because I feel bad.
Sure.
Because I really like this season, and now I've ranted about that for a sec. But, like, do you love the part where Jeremiah is talking to him, and he's like, you know, we're going to bring out the true nature. I'm just trying to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Every line almost when he's talking foreshadowing before, like not to create a Gotham of my own, but one for you, like a dark island, all that kind of imagery. And then he tells him at some point, like, you're the brother I never had. And like, uh-huh. Gotham falls, we rise together. I was like, oh man, this is everything I love about their relationship is they do complete each other in a way that's like, deadly and beautiful.
Yeah.
I have really loved that the show has embraced the imagery there. Because that's one of my favorite takes on the relationship between those two is they kind of need each other in a way. Like the way Snyder writes them, for instance. Zach too. But Scott Snyder's what I'm getting to.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't remember Jeremiah being a part of anything Snyder wrote.
No, Scott Snyder. I mean, just like the way he talks about Joker.
I know.
If you're going to actually make me step over and say the Joker, and even though I'm not authorized, I'm just going to do it on top of you. It's fine.
Yeah, Gotham hasn't had the Joker on.
We're just going to do it, Dave. We're just going to do it. We're going to accept this reality. Just going to talk right through you.
I feel like they have been pushing a little hard on the, like, I'm not insane. I'm like, yeah, I get it. Grant Morrison's super sanity. I got it.
Nah, I dig it. I've never really gotten to see it. I love it.
I know. There's that part of me that feels that way. And then another part of me that goes...
That part should win, Dave. Let that part win.
But then there's another part of me that's like, you guys are, like, pushing it too hard.
Yeah, I think
a couple
they're probably,
of lines is good.
I don't know. I think they're probably done pushing it. I didn't feel like it was pushed that much. I don't know.
I did.
Maybe I just, even if it was, maybe I just enjoyed it every time. I was getting dopamine all over the place.
I didn't, like, it was annoying at times, but then I was just, like, lost in Cameron Monaghan's performance. So I was just like, dude, you do what you gotta do.
Whatever makes this happen, you keep it coming.
Yeah. And, you know, he's a scrawny chap, but that Bruce, man, he certainly acts the part of Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. That look on his face when he decides something. I don't know who taught him that or if it was natural or what, but he's got it.
So what do you think is going to happen with Selina? You think they're going to leave her paralyzed?
I don't know about leave her paralyzed. We do have to have a Catwoman in this universe.
We don't have to.
We don't have to, but I think they will.
I don't know. Like, you know, they killed Sarah Essen early on in, what was it, season two?
Yeah, but the precedent is that she's killed by the Joker, and they pretty much did a version of that, so that worked for me.
Yeah, but, you know, she didn't, you know, cause Gordon to have a beer and cheat on his wife, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't marry Jim Gordon at some point.
It's like the Killing Joke episode, or whatever they called it, One Bad Day. It's mm-hmm. You take a few pieces, you do it your way, and I'll still call it, like, a decent homage.
Well, that's my point, though. They could easily... You know, kill Selina off and just be done with it. And be
I mean,
like,
she's
well,
going to survive.
She didn't survive in our universe. No,
nah,
no, no.
She's going to survive. She's been built.
She'll survive.
She's been built in day one. I think she comes out uncrippled and mad. Because think about it, the one thing she said was "Don't leave me." And when she wakes up, he won't be there. And it's not like like at first he's pulled away by military authorities, which, by the way, they don't have the right to do. Even if I don't know martial law, maybe I don't know whatever. But he's pulled away, pulled there against his will. He can explain, hey, military authorities took me from the hospital. He can even explain, I had to stop this happening from the city. But then he can't really explain that he sits there and makes the choice not to get in the ambulance with her. And she's going to get pissed about that.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow she'll find out that he could have just, that he had time and he could have gone with her to the other side of the evacuation, but he just didn't do it.
Right.
And I loved, oh God, I loved Alfred. What'd he say? Gotham's not your responsibility. I'm making it mine. And then just Alfred just, oh, sod it. That's just perfect for Pennyworth, man. Beautiful.
Yep. All right. What else do we need to talk about with the show?
Well, where it's going, and I had a couple questions for you if you could help me.
What's that?
One, I liked our first shot of Bruce surprising Gordon.
Oh, at the light. Good.
The first time he turns his shoulder and realizing someone's behind him, and it's Bruce. And oh, that's rewarding.
I like the way they wrote that, that the light is a beacon for hope, even predating Batman. Like,
yeah.
That was good.
That was. I wondered what the hell he had in the middle of that light. Is that just what the light looked like? Was there something in the middle of that light, or is that just how it's built? Because I kept wondering if he had like put something in there, or is that just...
I didn't see anything in the middle of the light, man.
That's just how the light's... Okay, so just wondering.
Yeah, I didn't see anything.
Other than that, though, you see Penguin, Freeze, Firefly, Scarecrow, Rage in the form of Barbara, and what I'm going to call the Blue Boys, kind of are there and start to stake their claim.
Uh-huh.
And then you see, like, I guess Man-Bat?
Well, remember, that was that... they're actually wrapping up... They're bringing in and wrapping up... It looks like they're going to wrap up the... remember the Indian Hill freaks? Remember that bat creature that was, like, hanging out, running around?
That's the thing. People? I don't at all. Is that... So that's just something I forgot about. Some of the Indian Hill freaks are still out there?
Yep.
Okay. Who are the masked creepy people? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm assuming they're Indian Hill freaks.
Okay.
I really don't know.
I don't think we've seen those before. That one completely over my head if it was something I was supposed to catch. Even then, I didn't remember there was a Man-Bat running around.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't remember what season it was when the Indian Hill bus...
I think 2 years ago. Or,
yeah. Whatever it was that, like... I don't know. It felt like someone opened up Tim Burton's sketchbook and a bunch of creatures escaped.
Oh, for sure. Like someone spilled goat's blood, poured acid on the page, and ran around it 3 times, and then we had this. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Probably chanting something backwards. I don't know. I like the list of people that are staking their claim. That's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing for real No Man's Land in some capacity.
In some capacity, yeah.
I know it's not going to be No Man's Land, but as it's been pointed out recently, why would you do it exactly from the comic book? You know that story already.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get behind that to some extent. I'm just so happy we're actually going to see a No Man's Land. Can't believe it. Like, that's something I never would have hoped for.
I mean, we kind of saw it in Dark Knight Rises.
No, we didn't. Not even close.
We saw an approximation of it.
Not even close. It's just, I'm not even willing to entertain the idea that that was No Man's Land.
No, that's fair.
It was as though someone told him, hey, there's a version, there's a whole storyline where they like cut the city off and it was kind of chaos in there for a minute. And that's all they knew about it and included it.
Uh-huh.
No, that's, I reject that. Anyway.
All right.
So it's back. It's moving.
Yeah.
And it's the final season.
It's going to be mid-season though, right?
It's moving to mid-season. It's renewed, and it is the final season.
Mm-hmm.
And of my 4 predictions, the only one I'm lacking is that I think it comes back for a half season. Out of those 4 predictions, I'm 3 of 4.
Right. Man, they better have Nick DeGosta come in as Harvey. I want to see that story.
I'd like that wrapped up. Maybe he shows up and helps the Blue Boys for a minute, right? Like, he couldn't leave the city either. Hey, I hadn't seen you guys for a while, but I didn't want to abandon it.
How much do you love a couple episodes ago where, like, Harvey Bullock almost dies trying to stop that bomb and like wins back the respect of the GCPD.
Oh yeah.
I almost cried.
Oh, it was wonderful. And actually really rewarding. I was super kind of annoyed with they bring in this rote bully character to enforce martial law.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost worth it though for the scene when like Bullock pulls his gun, they pull their guns and the entire GCPD backs him. I was like, all right, that's pretty ballin'. All right, fine. I'm okay.
I love that they like understood that they needed to earn that for Bullock.
Yes. Yeah.
I was proud of for that.
Yeah. I don't know what else I got. Looking forward to next season.
I am too.
Even more so now that I know it's final. Because I feel like
me too.
They're going to wrap it up in a way that I'm really going to enjoy. I just want one shot. Like, at the very end, I want one shot of, like, a pan up of Bruce, and you see the full costume for the first time, and lightning behind him, and just cut to black and go.
See, I want a little more than that. I want the bat signal, and I want Gordon on the roof with a mustache.
You're gonna be happy if over the course of the next season, he starts growing facial hair, and the last episode he shaves it down to just the mustache. When did you start smoking a pipe?
It's got bubbles in it.
Yeah.
Why are you gritting your teeth while you talk about bubbles? Because I grit my teeth when I talk about everything.
Yeah. Guys, come a long way since the OC.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I don't think I have anything else. All right, well, we're going to be coming back with a review of Deadpool 2 because we damn feel like it. Because
we can.
I hope you've enjoyed this this little conversation we've had about the Gotham season finale. Super excited to see it come back next year, and you should be too. I've seen a lot of people really upset that they're bringing it back for a final season. I'm like, guys, just be happy it's a final season.
That's the best way to do something.
Yeah.
That's my ideal version of anything. I wish every show ended on what it knew was going to be the final season.
Mm-hmm. Like,
no hemming and hawing. Oh, we set it up, but we could have done this. No. You know what's happening. Here's your episode count. Go.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, I say be thankful. I am. I'm thankful that we're going to get one more season of Gotham, that we know it's going to be the final season. They're going to have time to wrap everything up, and it's
right
going
now,
to be coming back
mid-season.
It's going to be coming back mid-season, so it won't be in the middle of like everything else.
Yeah, a little breathing room.
I can just kind of dig into it in a little while. Give me a little time to miss it. But like I said, hope you enjoyed this episode. Let us know what you thought. We'll get to some... we did have some listener feedback on Gotham. But we'll get to that with when we come back with the news. And come back with a Deadpool review, Deadpool 2. So until next time, guys, keep some DC on your screen! Our opening narration was from Dan Juergens' The History of the DC Universe, Part 3 of 10, as featured in DC 52, Week 4. It was performed by me, David C. Robertson. Intro music by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Future Elevators, could be found on Spotify or future-elevators.com. Our introduction was performed by Effie Opelders of the fantastic podcast Stealing the Remote, which lives on SoundCloud. It can also be found on iTunes and Stitcher. We are proudly in partnership with TV Time, TV show calendar and social media site that lets you keep track of what you're watching, what your friends are watching, and where you all left off. DC On Screen is a maladjusted production. Visit maladjusted.tv for more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, an improvised web series, vlogs, parodies, and more.
Are you-